I am pleased to have this opportunity to sit down with Luke Mayville, one of the founding organizers of Reclaim Idaho. Welcome, Luke.
Thank you so much, Susie. It's wonderful to be here.
And thanks for taking the time to come into the KRFY studio this morning and inform our listeners about Reclaim Idaho and the ballot measure that is currently the focus of this citizen action initiative. What is Reclaim Idaho?
Reclaim Idaho is an organization committed to electing officials who believe in three main issues: strong public schools, protected public lands, and affordable health care for working families. We started back when we got involved in a local effort to pass a levy here in Sandpoint, which is the town where Garrett Strzic and I grew up and attended the public schools. But then after being really inspired by the turnout that we saw for that levy and all the people who got involved, we thought, we want to carry this spirit into November 2018 somehow. We want to use the same kind of formula where we said, okay, we're going to organize around things that really bring people together. We're going to try to get away from issues that divide our community. And that's where we started thinking, we started asking ourselves, what do we really believe in? Garrett and I and other people who are involved, what do we really believe in that the vast majority of others in the community also believe in? And when we asked that question, we pretty quickly came to these three main things: strong public schools, full funding for the K-12 system, which hasn't been even really close to full funding, especially since the Great Recession, the financial crash of 2008, protected public lands. Every day all around the country, you're seeing threats, you're seeing some rolling back of protections, for example, relatively recently in Utah, in Alaska. And that's something that's such an integral part of what we value here in Idaho. And we think people come together around that value. And then affordable health care. Just everywhere you go, even when we were out talking with people about the schools, constantly hear stories about health care. And we noticed that there's this issue called the Medicaid gap, where there are about 80,000 people who make too much money to qualify for Medicaid, which is mostly for people making very little money, but they don't make enough money to afford health insurance. And there are just thousands of those people in every community in Idaho. So you can't go around and talk to people without coming across people with just heart-wrenching healthcare stories. So we thought that's going to be our next big fight and our next big issue where we can really try to bring people together is going to be expanding Medicaid, something that so many people in this state have wanted to see happen for the last 4 years, but our legislators haven't been willing to do it.
Shortly after your launch of Reclaim Idaho at the Panada in July of 2017, you pulled up to Farman Park in this big green RV that said Medicaid expansion. And a bunch of people gathered there. There were medical personnel, people, doctors who spoke eloquently about the need for having Medicaid for all, filling that gap. And you decided to kind of go around the state to all the different areas of the state and find out what people were thinking. Mm-hmm. What did you find out?
Well, what we did was just after we were really involved in this local election around the school levy, and we started thinking, how could we carry this spirit into 2018? We started thinking right then and there about a ballot initiative to expand Medicaid. But then we came up against some obstacles because we started having phone calls with people around the state who are influential healthcare advocates, people who've been very involved in advocacy and doing organizing around the state around these issues who believe in Medicaid expansion. They said, no, that's not the right way to do it. You probably aren't going to succeed if you try to do a Medicaid expansion ballot initiative because you just won't find enough people who will sign it, who will sign your petition. So that's when we thought, okay, we need to come up with some dramatic way, some spectacular way to demonstrate that actually people will sign it if we're able to get, launch this thing, people will sign it. And that's where we came up with the idea of the Medicaid for Idaho tour, where we took this camper, painted it bright green, put Medicaid for Idaho across the side of it as if Medicaid is the candidate. But instead of having a candidate, you have a policy that we truly believe, based on conversations with people, based on polls, public polling that we've seen, is actually very popular. We thought, let's go out and prove it. Let's drive all around the state in this bright green Medicaid for Idaho camper. Let's raise awareness about the issue, but let's also demonstrate that there are people everywhere who believe in this. Maybe the most fun part of all is that we turn the camper itself into a petition, into a big physical petition, by carrying around these giant Sharpie markers and giving them to people and giving them the opportunity to actually physically sign their signature on the outside of the camper. So now if you see pictures of the camper, every inch of it just about is covered in signatures. And we ask people to also write, along with their signature, their town. So if you go and you look at the side of the camper, you see signatures and then towns all over Idaho, in some of the cities, but probably more so in rural areas all across the state, places like Priest River, St. Mary's, Blackfoot, American Falls, Shelley, some of the more urban places, Idaho Falls, Pocatello, Boise, Coeur d'Alene. So we were able to demonstrate through that tour, here's this giant green petition that everyone was willing to sign. Why don't we go through all that, all of the legal work to actually launch a real petition and a real ballot initiative, and let's go for it. And we found that once there was an organization that was willing to kind of go out on a limb and just start the thing, there were then people all over the state who were willing to get behind it. And it seemed like it was just clearly the right thing to do. So now we're finding support from all over the state.
Do you have partnerships in this endeavor?
Susie, the wonderful thing right now about 2018 and 2017 is that we believe we're really living through something like a real revival of democracy all around the state. So we didn't immediately go to the a lot of the most established organizations to try to win their support. Instead, we really emphasized all of these new organizations. So, you know, everyone listening to this will remember the Women's March. The Women's March wasn't just in Washington, D.C. or New York City or Los Angeles. There were 5,000 in Boise. There was 1,000 in Sandpoint. That's just one example of these new organizations that have just popped up out of nowhere. And you see all of these organizations, they're like little parties that aren't connected to a party, but they're little grassroots civic organizations that have just sprung up in neighborhoods and towns. For example, they're all over the state. There are these groups that organize around the idea of indivisible, which comes from one nation, indivisible, and they're really standing up for ideals of justice and democracy and equality and freedom. The indivisible groups are joining our petition drive. There are people who have stepped up, and there are also just local leaders who've been involved in different kinds of advocacy for years who are deciding to really champion this in their community. We now have 16 county leaders in 16 different counties who you can actually get in touch with on our website, MedicaidForIdaho.org, to find your county leader and get involved.
It sounds like the county leaders are a key component to making this a success, drive to get those petitions signed. Let's now get to that a little bit in more detail. You're trying to get so many signatures on these petitions in order to get this initiative or this measure on the ballot in November 2018. Mm-hmm. Let's just go right into that and explain that. What is it going to take to get mm-hmm. Medicaid for Idaho on the ballot mm-hmm. so that the citizens of Idaho can vote on this, mm-hmm. just like they did in Maine recently? Mm-hmm. And I hope that gave your mm-hmm. campaign a little boost.
Yes, it certainly did. when Maine voted recently for Medicaid expansion, it was the first state in the country to pass Medicaid expansion, to make it the law of the land in Maine. It was the first state to do that through ballot initiative. So all of a sudden, before Maine, people liked the idea that we were trying to get Medicaid expansion done here in Idaho, but they didn't really quite understand what we were up to. After Maine, all of a sudden, people understood, wow, they're trying to do the same thing that just happened in Maine, and it worked in Maine. And in Maine, they're going to extend healthcare to about 90,000 people or possibly 80,000 people. So, and Maine is about the exact same size as Idaho in terms of population, and a similar state in terms of, you know, it's big, it's rural. There's a lot of distance between places. Some of the politics are similar. So yes, that is very encouraging. And perhaps most encouraging of all is that when the voters went to the polls in Maine, they didn't just vote for it. They voted for it by almost 20%. It was a landslide. So what we've been saying ever since Maine is, look, it was a landslide in Maine. We could afford to not do nearly that well and still pass comfortably. If we passed, if we voted for this by 5%, that's a large margin. And that demonstrates that there's clearly a majority of people who want this. And we think that that is very possible if we're willing to do the work to make it happen. So to go back to the question of what it takes to get the signatures to put it on the ballot, there are two main requirements. One is that you need 6% of the entire state of Idaho, of registered voters in Idaho. That's about 56,000 signatures. The second requirement, which many people think is the more challenging requirement, is that you need 6% of registered voters from each of 18 different legislative districts, which is about half of the 35 legislative districts in Idaho. So that means you have to distribute your signatures across the geography of the state. So you can't just get them all in Boise, really. Now, it's not as daunting as it seems. Many people immediately, they hear that and they think immediately, oh, you really have to cover half of this vast state that we live in. The reality is there are a lot of districts clustered together. So in Ada County, where Boise is alone, there are 8 districts. In Kootenai County, Coeur d'Alene, there are 3 districts. Just within about 5 counties, you get to the 18 districts. So it's not as daunting as it seems. That said, we actually want to gather signatures from everywhere. We don't necessarily need to get to that 6% everywhere, but we'd like to have a couple hundred in every single county, because we know that there are people in every single county who want this. So we're going to organize everywhere. We have a strategy for getting over that hurdle in the 18 different districts. We have enough leaders who are building teams to get over those 18 districts. And then we think once we get over the 18, it won't be all that difficult to get to the total number of 56,000. So we're very hopeful, but we're not overconfident, because we're emphasizing that it's only going to happen if enough of us come together to make it happen. So it's only going to happen if there are enough people, for example, who are willing to print out one of our petitions from our website, medicaidforidaho.org, and go out to their neighbors, go out to their coworkers, their family members, get them to sign with their address where they are currently registered to vote, sign very clearly and legibly. We could talk more about the specific steps involved in that, but our website, medicaidforidaho.org, will walk you through that process. If enough people just start that process soon, we have up through April to get it done, but we've got to start. We've got to start now if we want to really get the momentum going to get that done.
Let's back up a little bit and talk about the gap. You know, mm-hmm. That's what you're working for, is to fill that.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that a little bit. And what do those folks that fall in the gap do if they don't have insurance?
Right. So about 4 years ago, every state in the country for the first time had the opportunity to expand their Medicaid program using federal dollars. Now, 32 states so far have gone ahead and done it. Those are not, by the way, there's a misconception that it's a Democratic thing, but those are not Democratic states. There, many of them are, but many of them are led by Republicans. And in fact, some of the most outspoken proponents of Medicaid expansion have been the Republican governors. So in the 32 states that expanded, what they did was they allowed people, not just those making very, very little income, almost no income, but people making up to, in Idaho, about $16,000 a year as a single person, $22,000 a year as a family of two. Everyone making up to that amount would qualify for Medicaid. And that was just a major breakthrough for so many people. We have a healthcare market that makes it very difficult to afford healthcare if you're not making very much money. And we have a system of employment and jobs where not a lot of jobs offer health insurance these days, especially not a lot of the new jobs offer healthcare. So many people are left out. That group of people in, you know, states, including most of the states around Idaho, not just Washington and Oregon, but Montana and Nevada, expanded and covered those people who were really in need. In Idaho, we didn't. Our legislators had the option to do so. Together with the governor, they could have expanded for 4 years. Each year, in one way or another, they considered it and rejected it. And it was very disappointing for voters. Voters have said in public opinion polls that they really wanted to see this issue addressed, and it has not happened. Now, what does that mean for the people of Idaho? This is really important. It means that close to 80,000 people go without health insurance. That means that they constantly have to decide whether they could potentially get some kind of health insurance or they could pay for health care somehow, but only at the risk of cutting deeply into their paycheck, maybe even spending half their paycheck on their medical bills. So we constantly put people in a position to choose between paying their medical bills or putting food on the table for their families, or, you know, choosing to pay their medical bills or keep the heat on during the winter. And we think this is such a fundamental point because, you know, this is just a basic principle. When you live in a wealthy country like the United States, no one should have to choose between necessities. No one should have to choose between two different things that they need, medical care or food, medical care or heat. Those things should be affordable and accessible to everyone, and especially people who are working full-time or even people working two jobs. In Idaho, we have close to 80,000 people who are in that situation. And if you break it down, it's over 10,000 construction workers. It's over 10,000 people in the food service industry. There are 3,800 veterans who are in the Medicaid gap. People think that veterans receive their health care through the VA. In fact, many veterans only receive health care through the VA for 5 years after they return from deployment.
Okay, so there's folks that are in the gap. What happens when someone in the gap needs medical care, goes to the emergency room because that's the only place for them to go? Who pays for it?
Well, this is one of the best arguments for Medicaid expansion. Not only will it do this great deal of good by extending health care to 80,000 people who belong to working families, it will also save taxpayers money. Because the truth is, in Idaho, we are already paying a great deal for health care services, for what we call indigent care, which is when people who make too little money to afford the health care that they immediately need, oftentimes just to stay alive, they end up in catastrophic indigent care programs all around the state. Now, and the cost of those programs are paid for locally by the counties through property taxes, and also by millions of dollars every year from the state general fund. We know that the counties don't just have a lot of extra money laying around through property taxes to spend. So that's a real strain on local budgets. It's also very clearly a strain on the state of Idaho's general fund. That's money that could be spent on all kinds of other services that we desperately need in this state. So we are paying for it. It's about 5,000 people only that use those services. And it is costing us more than Medicaid expansion would cost us. And Medicaid expansion would cover close to 80,000 people. So we're paying more to cover far fewer people. It makes no sense. There's no argument for it. It's expensive. So Medicaid expansion, this is just a critical point that we should all remember. Medicaid expansion is the fiscally responsible thing to do.
Some folks say that if Idaho expands Medicaid, it will raise our taxes. Is this true?
No, because, well, so the simplest way to put it is that Montana has now had 18 months of experience of having expanded Medicaid. And so far, they've saved the state of Montana $30 million. Saved the state of Montana $30 million. So that means that whatever costs taxpayers incurred through Medicaid expansion were more than offset by the savings. There are so many savings that come from Medicaid expansion. Catastrophic programs are just one of them. One of the cost savings that we would get by starting to shift that the costs of those services over to federal dollars. Another just to give a few other examples, by expanding Medicaid, it's predicted by a report commissioned by Governor Otter that we would create 14,000 new jobs in Idaho. And those jobs in turn would generate over $40 million in new revenue. Because that's, you know, this is basic economics. When more people are employed, they pay more in taxes, you generate revenue for the state. There are, and you can read about, there's a recent report, I think it was published by the Associated Press, and it was about Montana savings. So if you look up $30 million Montana, you can read about all the different new streams of revenue that were generated by expanding Medicaid. And the last thing that I'll mention, part of the way this works is that every year that we don't, that our legislators have refused to expand Medicaid, we've lost over $600 million federal dollars for the state of Idaho. And some people might think, when I say that, you might be thinking, okay, but that's federal taxes that I would have to pay. I don't want to pay more federal taxes. But here's the truth. You're already paying it. We are already paying federal taxes for Medicaid expansion. What's happening right now is those tax dollars are going to the 32 other states that have expanded. What Medicaid expansion would do would bring those dollars back into Idaho. That might be the single most important argument. That might be the single most convincing thing about Medicaid expansion, is that it would take money that we're already paying, bring it back into our state rather than, you know, distributing it to other states. And that's ultimately why there are so many savings, because what we're currently doing is we're losing out on a huge windfall of dollars that we're already paying for. If we bring that windfall back into Idaho, we'll start seeing all kinds of new revenue, all kinds of cost saving. So it will actually save taxpayers money.
That's the financial benefit. But there's also the benefit, as you explained earlier, to taking care of our own citizens here rather than having them become a burden at a huge cost to the state. Mm-hmm. And so ultimately, as someone said recently, it's the kind thing to do, but it also makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. And this is why so many people are saying, you know, Medicaid expansion really brings people together, because it's maybe more than just about any other issue I can think of. It brings together people whose main concern is fiscal responsibility and those whose main concern is, you know, compassion and healthcare for all. Both of those camps can find a lot to love in Medicaid expansion because it actually extends health care to close to 80,000 people while also saving taxpayers money.
So if someone wanted to get involved, what would they do? How could they do this?
Well, this is the most important thing of all. We need you to get involved. We're only going to get Medicaid expansion on the ballot if enough people volunteer to gather these signatures. So I'll just mention a few different ways that you could get involved today. You can go on our website. There's a tab on our website called Join Our Campaign. The website is MedicaidForIdaho.org, written out MedicaidForIdaho.org. Click on Join Our Campaign. You can find there your county leader. You can contact them and let them know that you're willing to join their team. If you'd rather not immediately start communicating with other people joining a team, you can get started by yourself right away. You can find instructions on the website to just download a petition and go through the four simple steps to actually turn that petition in and submit those signatures. You print the petition, you go to your neighbors or your coworkers, or your family members, have them sign. There's 12 slots on each petition for signatures. Third step is you go to a local post office, often local banks. I know Wells Fargo will notarize your petition. That's the third step, getting your petition notarized, where you sign it in the presence of a notary. And then once you've notarized it, you can either communicate with your county leader, submit that to your county leader, or you can just send it to an address that's provided on our website, MedicaidForIdaho.org. Also, follow us on social media. We have a Facebook page, Reclaim Idaho. Follow us there. Like our page and you'll get our updates. You can follow us on Twitter, at ReclaimID. And you'll find there all of these different events that we're doing as well. There will very likely be some kind of event near you where people are going out and gathering signatures. There will be opportunities, which will be very important, to actually join teams of people to go door to door and get signatures. That's not for everyone. Some people don't enjoy doing that, but it is a very efficient way to get signatures. I recently went door to door in Sandpoint, in area with a lot of low income housing, and it was just striking. It was just so moving to meet so many people who had healthcare stories and who've just gone without the ability to afford healthcare for years, and this was a no brainer for them. They didn't need much argument. They want to see this happen, and you'll find people like that all over the state.
It sounds like getting informed, really understanding the issue as it stands and clearing up some of the misnomers about it. It's not going to increase taxes. It actually brings tax dollars back to the state of Idaho so that you can articulate that to folks if you decide to go out and get signatures on the petition. Anything else you'd like to say, Luke?
Everywhere you go, just remember that this is the right thing to do. It's also the fiscally responsible thing to do. It will extend health care to tens of thousands of people while also saving taxpayers money. Idaho taxpayers are already paying for it. They're just not getting those benefits back. They're not getting those federal tax dollars back into Idaho. This is an extraordinary opportunity to do a lot of good while also saving taxpayers money. We just encourage you to get involved and also to really take on leadership in your community. This is an opportunity, especially if you are in a community that doesn't already have a very active signature gathering operation. You can really become that person. Contact us. Send us a message at reclaimidaho@gmail.com. Send us an email. ReclaimIdaho@gmail.com and let us know that you're interested in taking on a leadership role and we'll start that process with you. We need you. And even if you are in Ada County where there's already a very active operation in the Boise area, you could be a neighborhood team leader. You could really get your precinct organized and make sure that everyone in your entire area has signed this petition. So we are the organizers of this campaign, Garrett Strizich and I, and Emily Strizich as well. But we are just that. We're organizing it. We need leaders everywhere. We need 200 leaders in the state in order to get this done. It's a monumental task. A lot of people think that we can't do it, but we believe that we can. We believe that this is an urgent issue, that people understand the urgency, and that if enough people really come together, we can win.
Luke Mayville, thank you very much for coming in and talking today. And thank you for your commitment and dedication to this important issue. Reclaim Idaho. Thank you.
Thank you, Susie.